Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Have you ever quit on me? If he ever quits on us, we got a problem. Amen. He's never quit on us. Now, I wish I could say I've never quit on him. And there's some I know that in this world that we live in, there are hard things. But you know that when you go through hard stuff, the world's watching to see what you do. They want to see if you can get through the hard stuff. Or are you just like they are? Now, I can't make no excuse for nobody, and I'm not going to. Because when it comes right down to it, he's made every promise I need to get through anything I'll ever face. Now, there's a lot of things that I ain't faced, and I might face them. But I know the God who'll take me through. It matters how we live. The world is watching to see how you respond to the hard stuff. So it matters how we live. It also matters that you stick to it. Does it get hard? Yeah. Yeah, it gets hard. And there are some today that are in that place where it's just hard. But they're sticking to it. I love that, don't you? You're talking about an encouragement to my soul. It's when somebody's going right through the heat of the battle, but they're being faithful to God. Now, that's what helps me. I'll tell you right now, they may give a prognosis that ain't very good. You may not be able to see very far into the future, and everything you can see looks bad. But I'm grateful to God for them that won't give up. They just stick to it, stay with it. Apostle Paul was able to say in the end, he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, but it's not for me only. He said, but it's for all them. Amen. That have stayed the course, stuck with it. Say, preacher, I'm already guilty. I've done give up on God a time or two. Hey, just get back in it. Get back in it. I ain't met the perfect person yet. And if you think you're the one, I ain't met you either. So we've all got work to do. Well, turn with us to Hebrews this morning. I want to share my heart, and I believe what God would have me to do today concerning not going back. You'd think this is elementary. Huh? You'd think that a preacher, this is one message he'd never have to preach. Let me put it to you like this way. If blind Bartimaeus was here right now and you stepped up and said, hey, would you like to go back to being blind? Reckon what he'd say. But I got to preach this. How come? Because they go back on God every day. They lay it down. They give up. They quit. They stop giving. They stop doing. Whatever surrender they had to God, they cut it in half and think they're doing a God service by just giving him half. If we ask the woman that met him at the well that day, would you go back? I'd say she'd look at you like you lost your mind. I found the Christ. Amen. I ain't a going back. No. What about old Legion? Possessed with so many devils, they couldn't do nothing with him. You reckon if you could get to Legion today, say, hey, would you go back? Would you go back to being possessed by all them? Reckon what he'd tell you, Paul. Are you crazy? I ain't going back. No, I have done found the way.
Amen.
I've done found the way.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Hey, let me startle you. How many right now make a commitment to God and say, I ain't a going back?
Amen.
Amen. I know what he brought you from. Would you go back, Larry? Would you go back? This seems elementary, Steve. It seems like something that you would never have to address with the people of God. Because we've done tasted of his goodness. How could there ever be anything in this world to compare to the goodness of God? We've done tasted it. We've done seen his glory, at least in part. And yet I fear every day some are challenged with a simple choice that ought even to be a choice you have to make. Will I go back? The Bible says, I don't know why I'm starting this way, but the Bible said this, said man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know that you're going to miss the kingdom of God. It didn't say that, but it said you wasn't fit for it. Indicating there is something wrong when we look back, as if there is something back there that we want over what we found in Christ. I'll give you this. There are people in this world who have found out to live for Christ means you suffer. It doesn't mean that everything's easy and that. It's always a bed of roses. If you've lived for God any amount of time, you know that ain't true. But he didn't come to make it easy for us. He came to get us out of here. And he'll be with us through everything, thick or thin. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to read from two spots this morning and just trust that God will speak to our heart. Hebrews chapter number 11, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 12. And we'll just be as brief as we can, but pray that God will speak long to our soul. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd open it to our hearts today and that you would move us, God, to obedience in every part of our lives, that we as your children, Father, would have only one view, and that's forward. That we wouldn't look back, but we would look forward, and that we would press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We realize there is a reward, to be obtained. And we cannot receive it by looking back. Help us in this today. Speak clearly and Father boldly to us all, for we need it as we ask it, believing it in Jesus' name. We pray it. Amen. Amen. In chapter number 11, you'll find that there's a scripture there that said that if they had been mindful, if they had been mindful of it, they might have had opportunity to go back. Speaking of Abraham in particular and Moses, Moses was challenged with, it seems like, on every hand. That's all they wanted to do was go back. From the time they left Egypt, they were constantly on him about going back. Every hard thing they come up against, the answer to that was, let's go back. When they didn't have nothing to eat, they said, let's go back. When they didn't have nothing to drink, they said, let's go back. When the armies were against them that they didn't think they could defeat, they said, let's go back. Even when the spies come out there carrying grapes on poles and said, we have found the place of milk and honey, and yet some of them said, but there's giants in that land that are too big for us. They said, let's go back. And what I found in the Word of God, that made God upset. Now, he had done made promises to them concerning that land. And he'd already delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. You may think that nothing, but I'll tell you right now, it's a wonder of wonders what God did. He brought them across that dry ground and put them in the very land that he promised to Abraham. And he intended to do every bit of it for them. And their only response when hard things come was, let's go back. Let's go back. Well, there was a time it made the Lord so mad. I read about that again today when the men of Korah stood up against Moses, said, you took too much on yourself, Moses. You need to spread that out. And you know what? Moses never appointed himself. God did. And if you think you got a better idea than God, you probably ought to back up and refigure, because your idea probably ain't better than God's. Amen. Your opinion, your thought, what you think, amen, didn't matter to God. And it upset God. The Bible said he told Moses, he said, you tell them men, separate themselves. He said, make you a distance between them. And Moses did. And he said, everybody that's on their side, you better stay over there. If you're on this side, you better get over here. And the Bible said, God opened up the earth, swallowed up Korah and all them men, and closed the earth back. Let me tell you something. God ain't into people that want to go back. The people of God got upset with old Moses. Amen. Now, it wasn't Moses that opened up the earth and swallowed all them men. It wasn't Moses that sucked them down to the pit and closed it up over them that they'd never have another opportunity. That wasn't Moses, friend. That was God. The people of God got upset, and they set into murmuring against Moses and Aaron for what they just saw with their eyes. And God got upset again. And the Bible said he sent a plague. And old Moses told Aaron, he said, you run, get to the temple and get a censer and set it on fire. And he said, get in between the plague and the people. Oh, Aaron, he run hard as he could. They was dying, they was falling over left and right, the plague of God coming through there. They was appalling dead, Melissa. They couldn't stop it. And here, God was judging them. Why? Because they kept wanting to go back. Aaron had that censer, the smoke coming off that thing, and here he was holding it, a bunch of people behind him in the plague right there at it, just wanting to get around it, but they had put up their petition unto God, and God honored the mercies of a heart that was compassionate like Moses, and Aaron and Brother God was able to stay the plague for them. I want you to know there ain't any reason for you and I to go back. You need to make up your mind today that I ain't ever going back on God. Now, I realize that there's things out in my future I may not be able to control. And I may stumble and I may fall, but I ain't afraid to make a commitment today. Just because I know this sorry flesh that I live in is capable of falling, I realize that. But I'll tell you right now, I ain't afraid to make a commitment and say, God, if you'll help me, if you'll give me grace, I'm going to do my very best to live for you. I'm going to go for you. I'm going to serve you. There ain't going to be anything in my life that is more important than you. I don't want to go back. I know what's back there. I want to keep going for you. I want to go forward for God. Yeah, I don't understand people that want to go back. Amen. I've been there, right? You remember what it's like to be lost? I don't want to be lost. No, thank God forevermore. I don't want to ever go back to that place where I was lost without God. Don't tell me, a man of a right mind, of a reasonable rationale or intellect, if you can reason any time, we can reason together, brother. Though your sins were as scarlet, they've been made white as snow. There ain't anything to go back to. That ain't heartache and sin and reproach and to become an enemy of God again. I don't want to do that. No, the Bible said that Abraham made up his mind. Let's look at what happened to Abraham. The Bible said in verse number 8, I read it to you. Chapter 11, verse number 8. It said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. May I say to you today, if you're going to actually go forward for God, you're going to have to get called first. There'd been a lot of people tried it on their own, Alfred. They didn't make it far. There'd been many people that may have went to an altar, made a profession, but they didn't get up different. They didn't get saved. They left God's house that day the same way they came in, unconverted. And friend, there's a lot of people sitting on church pews, I'm afraid today, that have not been converted. There's a reason, friend, that you can't hold out with God. What the Bible said in the New Testament was, when some of them had left the disciples, what the Bible said was, well, they wasn't with us to begin with. You can't keep somebody in the house of God that ain't of God. If they don't love God, if they ain't poor God. Friend, if they ain't ever been saved, they won't stick with it. Apostle Peter said it like this. He said, this is a true proverb. The hog that was once washed will return to the wallowing in its mire. How come? Because it's still a hog. Listen, if you ain't ever been called of God, if you ain't ever been born again, yeah, you'll go back. How come? Because that's what you do. That's your nature still. But friend, if you ever get saved by the grace of God, you got a new nature. There ain't nothing in your past that'll satisfy you no more. There ain't nothing back there that'll do what for you, what God has done for you. You'll never find the peace you found with God back there. There ain't anywhere you can go but forward when it comes to God. Amen. Well, preacher, there sure are a lot of people that have gone back. I'm telling you. Most of them that went back was because they wasn't of him to begin with. Now, there are prodigals. We read that in the Word of God, so we know. Thank God for that example. Hallelujah. That we have that in the Word of God to go to. There are prodigals. There are times in a life of a Christian when they'll say, you know what? I don't believe I won't do this anymore. And they turn and they go back another way and they begin to follow the inner man or the outer man instead of the inner man. And they begin to follow that old flesh nature. But you know what you find out as a child of God? When you'll only go so far and it'll run out on you. Everything you thought you wanted will suddenly become clear in your mind that this ain't nothing for me. I'm as miserable as I've ever been. I'm going to die right here if I don't get back to the Father. I know where I'm supposed to be. Let me tell you something. What I believe today is if you ever get saved, you'll never get unsaved. And if you get out in this world, you'll find it misery and a heartache. It may be sin for a season and pleasurable. But I'll tell you right now, the people of God can't stay back there. You've got to go forward with God. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I don't have a testimony like some do. Well, let me be clear about this. As long as you got a testimony, if it's real, you better hold on to that. If you've ever been born again, that'll be what keeps you from going back, is having a real testimony. For the Bible said that Moses got called. Moses got called. And brother, that was one of the reasons that he never did. I believe he never did want to go back. Even had he been mindful of it, I don't believe he ever crossed his mind to go back. But he was also counting on the promises and the one who made them. Verse number 8 and 9. Bible said there, said after he would receive an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went, and by faith sojourned in the land of promise. When you think about it, friend, he had been given some information from God that was good information. It was something that you build your house on. Amen. Bible said man build his house on the sand. That's foolish. Because when the storms come, when the winds blow, and everything begins to attack you, if your house is built on the sand, here's what I can tell you is going to happen. It's going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. He said, but a wise man did this. He built his house upon a rock. And he said, when the winds came and the storms blew, and everything was up against him, friend, he said, because his house was built on the solid rock, it stood firm. May I say to you today, you don't have to go back. It ain't in the repertoire of a child of God to go back. It oughtn't even be in our vocabulary. We've been built on the solid rock, and the world can't tear it down. Amen. I ain't in your hands, I'm in his. I don't have to worry about it. I don't know the future, but I know the one that does. Brother, he's made me some promises just like he made to Abraham. And you know what, Larry? Sometimes them promises are all I've got. Because I can look at the circumstances of this world, and it might be grim. There's plenty of reason sometimes to lower your head and to assume a frown and to think there ain't nobody cares and poor pitiful me. But may I say to you today, if you'll get your heart right, what'll start to suddenly come back to you are some of the promises that God's made to you. And brother, one of them is he'd never leave me nor forsake me. What the psalmist said, he said, I once was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging prayer. The one thing I know about God, friend, is that he is faithful. Has he not been faithful to you? Anybody remember them days back there without him? Huh? I ain't going back. I ain't going back. No, I don't want to go back. Yeah. Oh, Abraham got a calling. Did you? I got a calling one day. Amen. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't call 100 people. He called me. He called me. And he called me to himself. And I'll tell you right now, I don't guess I was lost any more than 5 or 10 minutes. But brother, that's the worst 5 or 10 minutes of my existence. Then, now, or will ever be. I'll tell you right now, I don't want to ever be lost again. Thanks be unto God, I ain't ever been lost again. No, when he called me out of darkness into light, brother, the darkness left. When he made me his own, he gave me some promises. And I'll tell you right now, when we claim those promises and the consideration, not of the present, not just of the present, because I can tell you right now, having the promises of the present is necessary. Because those sometimes will be the very thing that saves you. Is when you go back to the Word of God and you look at what he said he will do for you. And said he would be faithful in doing it. You can mark it down. He will do it. Somebody raise your hand and say amen to that, preacher. He has done that in my life. I can't speak for you, but I'll tell you right now, 1,000 times 1,000, he has done that for me. He has been there when I couldn't do anything else. He has went for me when I couldn't go. He carried me when I couldn't walk. Brother, it's not in his plan for you to ever go back, and there ain't anything to go back for. I ain't going back. No. I don't believe it ever crossed Abraham's mind. Said if he had been mindful, he might have had opportunity to go back, but I don't think he was ever mindful. I don't believe it ever crossed his mind. No, because he had had a calling. He had had a calling, and he had counted on the promises of God. And then lastly, he considered the future. For the Lord had made some promises to Abraham, and the Bible said that Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him or imputed to him as righteousness because he believed God. Now, Abraham remembered, you see, that when God came to him that day, he was dwelling in the Gentile heathen country of Ur. Ur, the Chaldees. The Bible said that God told him, he said, get you out of here. He said, get your wife and your people, or your children and your stuff. And he said, get out of here. He said, I'm going to send you to a place that you ain't never been. You know, part of the problem was Abraham took Lot with him. God never told him. God told him, said, you get your wife and your children, or your wife, and get out of here. He didn't have no children then. If he'd left Lot back, Lot probably wouldn't have had that problem either. I don't know. But I can tell you this much. Once old Abraham stepped foot on Canaan's ground, he said, I ain't going back. I'll never go back. Now, the Bible said concerning Moses the same thing. Verse number 24, chapter 11, verse number 24. Let me share this and I'll close. Verse number 24, chapter 11. Bible said concerning Moses, said by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, when Moses got called out, he cut some ties. Did you know that if you get born again, you'll have to cut some ties? Because they, some of them people, like Abraham, he shouldn't have took Lot. He shouldn't have took anybody else. God told him and his wife to get out of there. Brother, he wasn't given instruction to take others with him. And friend, when it comes right down to it, if you get born again, you'll have to cut some ties too. Amen. You'll have to cut some ties. There were some people that Moses had to cut ties with. And one of them was Pharaoh and his daughter and all that house that he had been brought up in since he was a little child, a two-year-old, raised up in the very house of Pharaoh, had a probably great prominence in everything he could want for. But the Bible said that when Moses considered it, when Moses was called of God, that he made the decision, I ain't going back to it. I'm going to cut some ties right here. Brother, when he cut the ties, he cut them loose. And he left out of Egypt, and for 40 years he wandered in a wilderness. Until one day he come across a bush, and it was a burning. And he went to it to find out how come it wasn't consumed while it burned. And what he found out was the one inside of it was the fire of life himself. He said, Moses, take your shoes off, son. You're on holy ground now. Amen. But you know what? In those 40 years, Moses never went back to Egypt. Now, remember, Moses lived in three increments of 40. The first 40, second 40, third 40. Right? You've read that. In that middle part, he was back there tending the flock of his father-in-law's sheep. In the plains or the deserts of Midian. And there he was, tending all them sheep, got married, had some kids. All that stuff was going on, but he was out there, and he had every opportunity, I'd say, to go back. He could have went back, but see, the thing about Moses was he'd cut ties. He couldn't just turn and go back to Egypt, not without some kind of recompense, not without some kind of suffering at his own hand by going back. Listen, he made up his mind that he wasn't ever going back to Egypt. And brother, he'd rather live in the desert. He'd rather keep sheep for his father-in-law than to do anything that had anything to do with Egypt. Let me tell you something. You get born again, you'll want to stay born again. I ain't never found anything to go back to. Moses cut ties, but he also chose God. The Bible said in verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There are choices that we have to make as the people of God. Amen. The people of God don't live like the world. Amen. They oughtn't to dress like the world. They oughtn't to talk like the world. They oughtn't to act like the world. They oughtn't to drink what the world drinks, smoke what the world smokes, live like the world lives. Listen, he called us out according to the word of God to be a peculiar people that are zealous of a good work. Amen. He's called you and I to be different, to be somebody that'll stand up and claim the cause of Christ and live in a way that others would see and say, you know what? I don't think he'll ever go back. Moses had to make a choice once he'd cut the ties. He He chose rather to suffer the affliction with God's people. Have you? It costs a little bit sometimes to serve God. We may find more about that as we go along in time, but it costs something every now and then. Do you know you have to put forth an effort? Huh? That seems to that just tears people up when they have to do a little something. If it ain't convenient, they don't want to do it. Too bad. Right? You ever thought of that? This world wasn't built around you or what you want or what you need. Best thing I can do is man up every morning and say, you're God and I'm not. You're smart and I ain't. You know what to do and I don't. You've got some idea what's out ahead. I ain't got any. Huh? We ought to be honest long enough to let him be God and recognize, I believe I'll just stick with him. Amen. Do you know, Alfred, I ain't never had an enemy he couldn't take down. Not one. There ain't never been an enemy that stood in front of me that God couldn't take down. I'm talking about remove them. He did it all throughout the Word of God, and he'll still do it for you and I today. And I don't believe I want to go back. If you happen to remember what it was like being without God, surely you wouldn't want to go back. He chose God and God's people above the things of this world. Verse number 26. Look what he did here in verse number 26. The Bible said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Meaning, not only did he cut ties, not only did he choose God, but it means, friend, that he had considered Christ. You say, how in the world could Moses consider Christ? Christ wasn't even born yet. Well, Christ still existed even though he hadn't been born. You understand that part, right? Christ is as forevermore as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They always have been and always will be. Just because Christ hadn't been born was no indication that he didn't understand there was a Messiah and that there is a Savior and that Savior has existed from the beginning of time. The Bible said he esteemed the reproaches of Christ. That means the suffering of Christ. He esteemed that more valuable than all the riches in Egypt. Oh, you say something wrong with Moses. Something wrong with him. He had all the gold and all the stuff in Egypt he could possibly. And yet what you're saying is he'd rather suffer. He esteemed the suffering, meaning that he had considered it, evaluated it, analyzed it, and he put the suffering for Christ way higher value than all the treasures in Egypt. Well, I'd have to say he's probably on the right place, and some of us are still trying to get there. That's part of what hinders people today, is they looking at everything around them, and somehow they esteem the value of the stuff that's outside of Christ more important than Christ. You say, preacher, that don't happen. Look around you, friend. The reason people don't serve God the way they ought to is because something else is more important. They esteem it of higher value. And the danger in that is that part of the reason they esteem it higher value is there's something still in them that says, I'd like to go back. I'd like to go back. Listen, if there's anything still back there that you desire more than God, it could be you never got saved. Look at verse number 27. We'll close. Verse number 27, the Bible said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Of all the things that Moses did, one of the things that he was able to witness was the conquering of his enemies. The conquering of his enemies. Moses saw Pharaoh die. He saw all of his enemies drowned at the hand of his God. You reckon any part of Moses when he is standing on the other side of the Red Sea and looking back, saw all of his enemy destroyed behind him. You reckon it ever crossed his mind, I'd like to go back? No, I don't think it ever crossed his mind. I love those saints of God who, it doesn't matter what you hit them with, they still go for God. I've told it, I don't know how many times, but it made such an impact on me. I was 21 years old, pastoring a church, green as a gourd, dumb as a rock, and I didn't even know what to do or how to do it, but Betty Birchfield was on her deathbed, had stomach cancer, constant pain, a saint of God. And one Sunday afternoon after the morning service, I went up there and thought, I'm just going to spend some time with her, and I'll try to pray with her and encourage her or something, some kind of help. I went in there and I sat down beside the bedside of Betty Birchfield, and she put that old bony hand over there, and I sat there. I said, Betty, I said, how you doing today? Oh, son, let me tell you about God. She began to tell me about the Lord and how he had been close to her and what he had done to help her. And I'm thinking to myself, you're dying of stomach cancer and you're telling me, you're looking me in the eye with a smile on your face and you're telling me that you're as happy as you could be. And I thought to myself, something she's got is what I want. She's looking death right in the face and smiling. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of stuff when you get a hold of it will make you say, no, I don't want to go back there. I done found something that wasn't back there. There's a confidence and a peace. There's an encouragement and a joy in serving God and knowing that the one who has me won't let anybody else get to me. Amen. The Bible said nobody can pluck me out of his hand. He is in control. He is in charge. I've read the book from the beginning to the end. And brother, I love the end where he wins. He done told me how he's going to win. Anybody go want to be on the devil's side? Surely not. No. I've done seen what happens to the devil. And all those down here that want to serve him now, I done seen what happens to all of them. Now, I don't want to go back. What in the world would be worth going back to? Come get a song. There's a woman one day that had an issue of blood. Said 12 years she'd fought that blood problem. The Bible said she spent everything she had but was no better. Actually, she grew worse. And then one day said, Jesus is coming. What's this crap? Jesus is coming. That's what the crowd was about. She was unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be in a crowd. But she said to herself, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she said to herself, she said, I know I'll be made whole. Oh, they was all over Jesus that day. Everybody touching him. Everybody talking. Everybody. And yet this frail little woman pushed her way through. And as he passed, she just touched a piece of his garment as he went by. And the Bible said she felt the healing. She knew right then that she had been healed. The Bible said Jesus immediately stopped. He turned, he said, who touched me? They said, Lord, the crowd throngs you. How can you ask who touched you? He looked at him, he said, somebody touched me, for I just perceived virtue has gone out of me. Where'd it go? Into them. So that's what happened when I got saved. Was I received the virtue of Christ that day when I touched him in faith? There was a change occurred, and that old sick man got made new and whole. The Bible said he looked at the woman. And she said to him, she said, "It was me. It was me." And she told him the story. He looked at her. He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer." He said, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, be reasonable with me. Be reasonable with me now. And answer me. If you was to look that woman in the eye and say, "Would you like to go back to when you were sick?" What would she say? Is there any other response that makes any sense at all? No. And so I'm just going to make a commitment today. I'll never go back. If I'm in my right mind and your grace is still available, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I realize I'm trusting in Him through this. And I'm nothing but a mess that He fixes every day. But I ain't afraid to make this simple statement. I don't want to go back. I don't ever want to go back to what I was. Never. No, I have found the good way. Jesus told the story. He said that there was a man, a merchant man. He said he found a goodly pearl. So he went and sold everything he had to buy that pearl. You know what he was saying? He said, "I want that, and I'm never going back. Because I sold all that. I gave up all that so I could have this. I could have this." What would you go back for? What would you go back for? Say, "Preacher, I got some financial problems. If they was to step up to me and said, 'If you'll renounce Jesus, we'll give you $5 million right now,' would you go back? Would you go back?" No, I'll tell you right now, I'd look them in the eye and say, "I don't need you $5 million. How can you say that? May I say to you today that my Father is a king? Did anybody know that? Do you know He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the stuff under it and the hills Himself? What in the world have I need of a dollar? My King owns it all. He made everything you see, including me. And I am His son. And according to Him, a joint heir." Glory to God. "I don't want to go back. Are you kidding me?" "No, sir. Not for nothing. I'm not going back. No, I've done found Him. I have done found Him. I found Him. The Christ. And He told me all things that ever I did. He made me a new creature. He pulled me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a solid rock, and He established my goings. I ain't going back. No, I've done found the good way." What is it that hinders you today? "Say, preacher, I can't seem to stay out of the old way. Maybe you ain't never found the new way. Maybe you don't know what it really means to experience peace and joy and the love of Christ, having been regenerated from a new birth. You ain't never been called out. That means you don't yet know what I'm talking about. But if you ever get saved, I don't believe anybody in their right mind can actually look at what has happened and say, 'I think I just won't go back.' You know that none of those that wanted to go back got to go into the promised land? Goes back to that man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. He's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Lord told Moses, He said, 'You're not going to go in.' Moses had sinned against God there. He said, 'But all those people that have murmured against my promises and all those people that allowed they would want to go back,' He said, 'For the next 40 years, He said, 'I'm going to walk them around this wilderness until they're dead. Dead.' He said, 'Nobody over 20 years old today,' He said, will walk into that land. And 40 years later, there were some of them turned 60, and they got to go in. You want to go back? Might be because you've never gone forward. You've never known Christ really as your Savior. You fooled yourself somehow for a long time, and you still think that somehow or another it's about some work or something that you did or some emotion or some experience. And all the while, Jesus is saying that I want to make you mine. I want to make you mine. If you ever get saved, don't think in your heart you could truly say, I want to go back. Not having seen what you've seen and heard what you heard and felt what you felt and know what you know. There's nothing back there. I'd advise you today to do as Abraham did and just go forward. What the Bible said about Abraham was is that he claimed to be just a pilgrim and a stranger here. Abraham didn't put on any boasts about it. He said, this ain't my home. He may have promised me a land as far as I could see and everything I stepped on. He said, but I'm looking for something else that he told me about. He said, I'm looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. He said, I'm just sojourning here. What about you? I'm just sojourning here. Whether I've got $5 in the bank or I ain't got a nickel, doesn't change the fact that I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger and I am an heir to a city whose builder and maker is God, and my father is a king and my brother is the creator. And he has promised me all things. And you say, I think I'll go back. You ain't been saved. And if you have been saved, there'll be a day come to you as the prodigal that you'll recognize, I need to go back home. When you come to yourself and you recognize, I've made a terrible mistake. I'm going back home. We never do hear the prodigal ever leaving again. Right? He done learned that lesson. I ain't ever going back there. I'm not going back there. Would you stand as we sing today and consider your own soul? Listen, there's nothing more important today than you being saved. If your heart's not right with God, that's the problem. You still need Jesus. You need to know Him. You need to know His way. Would you come? As we sing, would you come?